Blog Talk Radio. praise the Lord and greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you tonight on a Monday night right here on Blog Talk Radio, where we are lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, who is worthy to be praised. This is, as I said, Monday night, January 26th. This is the 26th day of the year. That means we have exactly 339 days left in the year. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. My name is Elder Thomas Williamson. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to the rock, where Jesus is the rock of all ages. I don't care what kind of wind, storm blowing your way. We can look up knowing that Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by him. So he is the door to salvation. If we want to receive him, you can tonight. He can change your life for good. Tonight, we want to welcome you all, one and all, in Jesus' name. Just remind you that we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Friday on Blog Talk Radio at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Pacific, and 3 a.m. Universal Time. That's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, presenting the Word of God. It is an honor for us to do so, and we don't take it lightly because we know God holds us and great accountability, great responsibility when you carry the word. More than that, it's not just enough for us to talk the word, but be a doer of the word thereby. Tonight, we also just want to remind you that if you desire to join us on the web, you may listen to this show on with by visiting www.blogtalkradio.com/Didymus, spelled D-I-D-Y-M-U-S 2010. That is www.blogtalkradio.com/Didymus, D-I-D-Y-M-U-S 2010. There you can listen to the night show live. You also may download previous ones at your convenience. Tonight we want to invite you to join us as we approach God in prayer. It tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. Oh God, we come for your wisdom, your guidance. Lord God, we ask you to look upon us and bless. Even now, God, speak to us, with us, and think to our minds, speak to our mouth. Oh God, we just give you praise right now. Lord, we thank you for revelation knowledge and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we don't just want to present information, but we thank you, God, for deliverance. God, your word declare who had delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Father, we want to thank you tonight for being our shield, our glory, and the lifter up of our head. God, we thank you right now, God, that we have the victory. We thank you that no matter what's going on, we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, God, we just declare that you have already worked everything out to the counsel of your own will according for your own purpose. And we just give you praise, God, because we first trust in you tonight. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for your word, which shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that which you please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. So, Lord, we just honor you, and we bless you right now for the victory. But we pray this all tonight in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight, for your consideration, we want to invite you to go with us to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Well, our lesson will be, we'll piggyback off of that, and we have other scriptures, supporting scriptures, want to talk to you all tonight from the theme spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Of course, we know that in this Old Testament, we'll see the enemy that we're, of course, talking about here. But tonight, as believers in Christ, if you've truly been delivered and set free, saved, and filled with the Holy Ghost, it is a spiritual warfare that we are in. You must understand that our wrestle is not against one another, but we have a real enemy. For as John 10:10 declares that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus has come that we may have life, that we may have it more abundantly. So tonight, if you have your Bibles, we want to invite you to go right with us to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. And we're going to start at verse number 11 through 19. We may be stopping here in different there, but that's where our text will be for tonight. Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. The Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Edom, the garden God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the storms of the fire. Thou was perfect in thy way from the day that thou wast created till it was found in thee." Now, this is the picture and beauty of Satan, or Lucifer, the son of morning. And he was. This gives us a picture of who he was before he was kicked out of heaven. Because the Bible says, until iniquity was found in him. The Bible says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering chariot, from the midst of the stone of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." One more verse, verse 19. It says, "All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more." This beautiful picture shows us exactly how Satan was before God removed him from heaven. And any time there's sin in our past, it will remove us from the presence of God. And that's why we have to have a heart to be quick to repent when we know that there is known sin there. Understanding God's principle that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Also understanding that God's word will not return unto him void. He's a merciful God, and yet, in his mercy, we still need to have a mind to repent and ask God to cleanse us. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we look at this beautiful picture of Satan and understand how he was a beautiful cherubim, but pride brought him down. Now, if we continue and look at this passage and explore it in detail, it will take us over to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14, if you're taking notes, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 12. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken of the nation? But thou sayest in thine heart, I will ascend." Notice what he said. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High," all these eyes, the angel eyes. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as the wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisons?" Here's an extended version of Satan. He was referred to here as Lucifer. He says, "How thou fallest from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nation." Now, we understand that Jesus already told us what the purpose of the enemy is: to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have life, that we may have it more abundantly. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, first of all, as a believer, we do understand that we must have on proper ammunition, proper clothing to fight any battle. You cannot fight a battle by yourself without being properly dressed. You must know and understand that there is work to do. And if you dress successfully, then you are able to handle anything that comes your way. We'll get to that in just a minute. But in 2 Corinthians, you'll find something really powerful. Turns to spiritual warfare, the 10th chapter, 2 Corinthians 10, beginning around the 3rd verse. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, the Bible declares, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Notice he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Why? "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The Bible says, "Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Excuse me, notice he said this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And he tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Bible declares, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So he says, casting down imagination, your thought, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So it's important to understand that this is a wrestle, but we can win because we understand our fight is not against each other. I stated earlier that we need to be dressed successful. What success if we're going to succeed on this spiritual journey? The Apostle Paul told us that we need to put on the proper clothing. Now, when you go to join the U.S. Army, you have to have on proper identification because it lets the people know you are representing the nation. Whether you're in the Army or Navy, everybody knows your uniform. So how much more should we have on proper uniform, proper attire when it comes to the spiritual battle? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, the Bible declares unto us, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves, and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, this word wiles, tricks or schemes of the devil, wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and these are the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Now we're going to get into the specific of the uniform. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. It is important that you know God's word and hear the truth, for it is the truth that will make you free. It is the truth that will make you free. It's the truth you know that will make you free. So it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's John 14:6. So he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when we think of righteousness, that's right standing with God, right standing with God. Knowing this, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any of people. Then he said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet. You know, it's uncomfortable to walk outside, even in the natural, with shoes off your feet, although some people may have tough, but by and large, we would say, assume for most people that having shoes on is important. But in our armor of God, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it's the same gospel that we have to preach concerning death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and soon return of Jesus Christ. It's the same gospel that the Apostle Paul used when he talked in Romans 1:16 by saying, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Bible goes on to let us know, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That no matter what your trials is, you have to have on the shield of faith. The shield of faith protects, and the natural shield protects your heart, your lungs, those vital organs. What is a description of faith? We know based upon Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. So he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. First, he says, take the helmet of salvation, which means you need to protect your mind. Now, when we think of the mind, we think of Jesus gave us the most beautiful illustration of how to deal with your mind, because in Philippians chapter 2 and the 5th verse, the Bible declares unto us, let his mind be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he, meaning Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, we need our mind protected. So he said, take the helmet of salvation, and then the only offense weapon we have is right here, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we talked about the word of God on last broadcast, the value of it, the importance of it. So, if we take the word of God, let the word work, it will work. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and sharp. The Bible says it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. That's the word of God. Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we understand in these last passages that this is a spiritual warfare. It's something we don't do in and of ourselves, and our fight is not against flesh and blood, but our fight is we have a real enemy. And even when we start talking about the enemy, not just Satan himself, but the worst enemy can be is you, yourself. Because when you choose not to die to your flesh, it will cause you problems down the road. What you allow today will hurt you tomorrow. This flesh is subjection. So the Lord will help us to understand that this warfare that we're in is a fight that we can win. But we got to stay in the confines of the Word of God if this is going to work and this is going to be beneficial to us. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, Luke 10 and verse 17, Jesus was talking. He was talking to the 70 who had just come back. He had sent them out so they could witness and they could bring him back a report again. Well, in that 10th chapter, and around the 17th verse, the scripture says, and the 70s return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notice that again. He says, behold, I give unto you power, that means authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, Jesus said, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What a blessing from the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have the victory already? And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 57, I just want to see that we already, not waiting on it, but we are already got the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 declares, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord. Notice, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2, 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Notice that again. But thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. He said, if that happened, he said, for we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? My God, what a blessing. So I want you to understand tonight, we're going to get our bombs, our guns, our knives. we have to understand is you. The weapon we have is tonight is we can pray, seek the Lord, using the word, pull down those strongholds, those things that are coming into him. And I want you to know we can win because Christ has already given us two. We just got to be willing to use it and yield ourselves to God. Because if we yield ourselves to God, we'll find out everything else will work. In James chapter 4, James 4 and verse 7. In James 4, 7, you find the Bible teaching us there's something that we have to do. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Notice he says first, submit yourselves to God. That's something we do first. Submit. Come up on his mission. Lord, what is your mission? What is your plan? If you said live holy, we can do it. If you said live right, we can do it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But that being, you can resist all day. If you haven't submitted, nothing's happening. So he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you want the enemy to flee, you got to submit to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Why? And your joy to heaviness. Then he says, humble yourself in the sight of God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God will lift you up if you humble yourself. But remember the key, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Well, I bless you. Now, notice, too, in verse 8, James 4 and 8, he was saying to us, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You also see this in James 1, 8. James 1 and 8, he says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Notice that again, he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't say I'm saved today and then live like the world the same day. No, because bitter and sweet fresh water can't come out of the same fountain. There is a difference. And it is up to us to understand and recognize that that difference is only made in Christ. We have to make a decision. And then, of course, it's made by our choice, our choices. So tonight we're talking about that spiritual warfare. What is the thing that's battling in your mind? You can make it. You have to know that God has given us a recipe for success. And if you are one who is wrestling with the enemy, if you have enemies, even in the natural that have bothered you, you have to understand that the greater one lives in you. And you don't have to take the same thing because God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there's a difference. There is a difference. And we got to understand that if it is to be, it's up to me. We have to make a decision and decide that we're going to walk in the counsel of God. Considering Psalm 1, you remember the Bible saying this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of God, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why? He said, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. How long? Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit when in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. My God, my God. The Bible declares in Psalm 60, verse 12, through God we shall do valiantly. Why? For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. There was a man in the Bible named Nehemiah who was repairing the wall of Jerusalem, and as he prepared, he had people who tried to stop him. But if that plan is ordained by God, no one can stop that plan. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, the scripture says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Notice, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So it's so important for us to understand that I don't care what you're going to do. God has given you a plan against your enemy. Let's remember, this is a spiritual warfare. In Proverbs 16, verse 7, the Bible declares that when a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Notice, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In Psalm 118, verse 7, the Bible said, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. If I see my desire upon them that hate me. Now look at Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 7. Deuteronomy 28, 7, the Lord shall call thine enemy, rise up against thee, be smitten before thy face. They shall come up against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Notice, the Lord shall call thine enemy and rise up against thee and be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Oh, my God, what a blessing. Now, consider the psalmist David. He says in Psalm 27, verses 5 and 6, he had been running from his son Absalom. But somewhere he penned these words. He says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemy round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. And that is the same song where he declares in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. They stumbled and fell. He said, though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. No war shall rise up against me, in this will I be confident. He said, no matter what comes our way, in this, even in this, I'm confident that my God will deliver. I'm confident. That's why we can't have an attitude to give up, cave in, or quit. Get us to that point. He has succeeded. But remember, Jesus gave us the parable in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8 in your study time, but we just going to pick out a couple of verses. Verse 1, he said, and he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Notice, you ought to always to pray, always to pray. Go to the throne before you go to the phone. Go to the throne. So he said men ought to always to pray, not to faint. And then in verse 7, this is Luke 18:7, he declared, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be alone with them? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be alone with them? Isaiah 54, verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Notice that again. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. So, friends, I'm telling you tonight, no matter what it looks like, God has given us tools. We just got to be willing to use them. We got to be able to give him an eternal yes. Eternal yes. Say to the Lord, Lord, drive out into everything that's not like you so that I could be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, consider what the word of the Lord says to us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He said, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from thee, he shall be a vessel to honor, prepared unto every good work. This is so important for us to know, because Jesus told us in the Gospel of Matthew, when he was doing his Sermon on the Mount, one of the things he said that's noteworthy, he said, Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Will of my Father. Just for us talking the word, we got to do it. So tonight, if you have issues going on in your walk with Christ, you just got to know that God has given you a way out, a way of escape. Father, we just praise you for your word tonight. Thank you for what you're doing with us, through us, for us. Oh, God, we thank you for having mercy upon us. Lord, even as your word declares, it's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, thank you for being kind to us. Lord, help us, oh, God, that we will yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. God, give us strength and courage that we can do those things that pleases you, Lord. That we won't offer up an unrighteous sacrifice. Lord God, we help us to present our bodies before you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we just thank you tonight also for being Jehovah Rapha for me, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you for manifesting it, O God. We honor you and we bless you. O God, may the lives of your people be transformed by what they heard tonight. Most of all, God, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. We thank you, we honor you, and we give you praise for the victory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to thank everyone who has joined us tonight right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11, 10, 9, 8. And at whatever your time zone, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific, and 3 a.m. Universal Time. If you desire to correspond with us, you may send a letter to Prayer of Faith Ministries. It's Prayer of Faith Ministries. That's P.O. Box 1289. That's P.O. Box 1289. Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. If you desire to call for prayer, you may do so by dialing area code 601-502-1150. Once again, the number is area code 601-502-1150. Certainly, we just thank the Lord for blessing us tonight. Thank God for the word, spiritual warfare. God has given us the tools to make it. We look forward to seeing you right back here on Wednesday night, the Lord's will, as we get back into the word. And now I lead you with Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Elder Thomas Williamson reminding you to Jesus is Lord, and be encouraged in Jesus' name. Well, everyone have a great night in the Lord. Good night, everybody.